It's the Freedom Talk Show with Veronica.
So I have a question here that I got from some of my viewers that I wanted to ask you before we continue.
Okay.
Can someone who is in a deathbed, who have spent all their life and literally about to take their last breath, and they know it, and if at that moment they decide to give their life to Christ, can that person be saved?
Yes, but remember, the Lord knows the heart. He knows the motive of the heart. Let's take, for example, somebody has been hearing about the word of God all his or her life. But the person purposely planned and say, you know what? I enjoy sin. I don't want to give up sinful lifestyle. So I'm going to purposely wait until that last moment and give my life to Christ. There are high chances that that person may not make it. I know that ultimately it's God that decides. But when your heart is rotting, when your motive is evil, come, you know, as children of God, we also kind of have an understanding of the ways of the Lord. When your motive is evil, you are not going to be saved. That's the truth. Because your motive is wrong. You have purposely ignored the word of God and you have planned it out that on my deathbed, I will now give my life to Christ. Number one, those kind of people on their deathbed, sometimes their mind is not even there. Sometimes they are not even coherent. Sometimes they are not even mentally stable. But if somebody genuinely just on their deathbed, it occurred to them, and remember, it's the Holy Spirit that even helped anyone to give their life to Christ. The Holy Spirit is involved all the way. So on their deathbed, the conviction comes. The Spirit of the Lord starts to minister. Look, give your life to Christ now or else you're going on the other end. And the person genuinely repents. With tears, with crying, with regret, with pleading. Everything is here. The person may not even utter a word, but everything is here. And the Lord sees what's going on here. Of course, just like the thief on the cross, that person will definitely go to paradise. So it's all here. What is the motive? What is here?
What should we as Christians and believers, for someone say, okay, I'm going to be a Christian, what will I get from it if I become a Christian? What does a person get when they become a Christian?
Well, the person say, what is the prize?
Yes, what is the prize?
I become a Christian? Eternal life. Eternal life is one of the first things that come to my mind. I don't want to go to hell. There is eternity, whether we believe it or not. There is the living of this flesh. And when our soul leaves this body decays, the soul has to go somewhere. And your soul will either go to heaven or go to hellfire. You know, there's middle ground. Like I always tell somebody, there's no purgatory. There's no somewhere temporary. No, your soul will go to one or the other. So one of the things you will gain is eternity with God. You know, living in heaven with God. Being in the presence of the Almighty God. Can you imagine living with the God that created this universe?
Powerful.
I mean, it's mind-blowing. Like, can you imagine what that... Let me share something. Anytime that the Lord visits me, the joy that I feel for that, let's say, short minute, the joy that I feel, honestly, is overwhelming. You can't describe it. You know, the Bible talk about, you know, in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy. I've experienced it. And I'm talking about when the Lord visits me in dream. I've experienced that joy for just few minutes. And let me tell you, it is something that you can't even describe.
Wow, praise the Lord. You,
so that's one. And then on the other end, what are you to gain? Of course, you are working with the Lord. You are living a life of holiness. Sin is punishment. Sin is not a good thing. We enjoy sin because we don't know better. But when the Lord brings you out of sin, smoking cigarette is not a good thing. You are destroying yourself. Alcohol, putting it in your body, is not a good thing. Having to be addicted to pornography is not a good thing. So when you are, the benefit of being saved, the benefit of being with the Lord is that he delivers you.
Hallelujah.
You don't know that when you are living those lifestyles, you are actually in bondage. You are actually in chains. It is when the Lord delivers you, then you are like, whoa, I was in bondage. So that freedom is definitely a benefit. So there's so many benefits. At the same time, let me give a disclaimer. A disclaimer, because I don't want to make it sound like, oh, everything will be wonderful, happily ever after. We are still to realize that the moment that you give your life to Christ, that you are now a born again Christian, you are the Satan enemy number one. You are demons, you are their enemy number one. This world, you are their enemy number one. Society, you are their enemy number one. So you are now in a hostile environment, because everything about this world is against the ways of the living God. So there, all of a sudden you become an army, you know, the Christian soldier, because there's all these foes that are coming against you to destroy your Christianity. They know that you are a light. The Bible says we are a light to this world. And the things of this world, the powers of darkness, they want to turn off that light. When you emanate light, you show people the way.
The way,
you are showing people the way to God. You are showing people the way to heaven. You want people to see clearly. The ruler of this world is the devil, is Satan. And he has the whole world in captive. So he's looking like, who is this one? Who is this one that's trying to wake people up? Oh, yeah. Let's go after him. Let's go after her. So you have a host of enemies that are coming at you. So your life is also going to... your life is not going to all sweet and rosy, but by the grace of God, you triumph.
And that's why I hear people say, oh, when I wasn't a Christian, everything was going well for me. Then all of a sudden, then, you know, I'm losing stuff. I'm doing this. And, you know, I've heard people literally tell me that, Veronica, you are telling me about God, and you are telling me that God is all good. Then why are children in the hospital dying? And for a while now, this has been my research for the past 2 weeks or so. Researching, and I was asking one of my pastor friends, and I said, why is it that people die? You know, especially children in the hospital have cancer, if our God is a loving God, you know, because when they approach me with that question, I get overwhelmed. And I'm like, I know God loves you, but I don't know why these things are happening to you. So can you speak a little bit about that?
Okay.
If we are loved by God, then why are these things happening to people who, you know, who ask me this question? So I have an answer for them.
Okay. The Bible tells us from day one, the Lord already has the book to tell us about our history, about our life. And from the beginning, the Lord tells us that Adam and Eve fell. And from the moment they fell, everything else fell. The land was cursed. The world is cursed. What basically happened in the garden was in the Eden, and what basically happened in the Garden of Eden was a transaction. It was a transaction between us and Satan. God created the world and he gave it to man. And then man gave the world to Satan to rule. So when that transaction took place, everything else became a mess. You know, but what God does is that he's using the mess to call us back to himself. Because let me tell you the truth. Let me go back to my hotel room. If that attack didn't happen, do you think I'll be a born-again Christian right now?
Probably not.
What happened to me was very painful. It was very distressing. But it forced me to know God. If not, I would not care to know God. So God used what is happening in our world to draw us back to himself, because truly, we do not care for God. That's why the word of God says, you did not choose me. I chose you. Left for you, left for me, left for any human being. We don't want anything to do with God because we are fallen in Adam. We fell since the Garden of Eden. So we were separated from our God and we started going our own way, doing our own thing, living anyhow lifestyle that we wanted. But we are living in a world that is ruled by Satan because of the transaction in the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. And so when you are living in a world that is ruled by Satan, Satan is a wicked master.
Wow.
Satan is evil.
Mm-hmm.
And so he allows his evil agenda. Satan is so evil that a grown man will be sitting right there, and a one-year-old will be sitting right there, and Satan will start instigating this grown man to go and have sex with a one-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
That's satanic,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that is not God, that is Satan. And then the human being yield his free will and then go into that little one-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
But now God is seeing this mess, and God is using the mess to call us to himself and say, come out of it, come out of it. So why do evil things happen? We were the reason, because we fell in the Garden of Eden. We gave our power to Satan. We gave our word to Satan. And then the world now is a mess. And God is now using that mess to call us out back to himself.
Wow. You made a valid point there. So man no longer holds his free will.
Look, man has his free will, but the world is ruled by Satan. Then man now has to use his free will and say, okay, who do I want to obey? I am going to obey God, or I'm going to obey Satan. And most of the time, 99.9% of the time, we go the way of Satan. We like to obey Satan because of the flesh.
So how can... We almost done here. Just two more
questions. No problem. Take your time.
How can one yield its flesh to God completely?
That is it, being born again. With your own power, you can't do it. With my power, I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the Bible tells us that the Ten Commandments is not so that you wake up in the morning and say, did I lie today? Did I steal today? Did I?
Mm-hmm.
No. The Bible said the Ten Commandments is to teach us what sin is. Because how will I know what sin is if it wasn't for the commandment? And how do I know that I am falling and I'm incapable of obeying God if it wasn't for the Ten Commandments? So when I try to obey the Ten Commandments, I fail. And then I can cry to God like Apostle Paul cried to God and say, oh my God, what a miserable person I am. I am failing. I cannot obey the Ten Commandments. I am able to not lie, but look, I've committed adultery just by looking at a man that is so handsome, and I'm like, I've committed adultery. So when I begin to see myself and say, you know what, I can't obey these things, then the Lord say, here is Christ.
Hallelujah. Whoa.
So he's saying that all this thing is not so that we will now wake up every day and try to practice it. No, is this Ten Commandment is supposed to point us to Christ and say, you are incapable. You can't do it with your strength.
Hallelujah.
You cannot do it. And therefore you fall on your knee and say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I cannot do it. Come into my life and make me a new creature.
Wow.
So only through salvation that we can live a holy life.
Wow, this is beautiful. I'm doing this interview and I'm thinking that it's for someone else, but it's personally for me. I was telling you my testimony prior to us starting a little bit, and how I watched your video and how it transformed me. And I am already a believer. And I'm telling you that it transformed me, my thoughts. And now I can't even go to bed without praying and asking the Lord that, I know that this is a sin, and I still did it. Lord, forgive me. Because a lot of times it's easy for us to say, oh, the woman wearing the short skirt and standing on the road and prostituting herself is the worst sinner in the world. But we ourselves, as the Christians that God has called us, we are gossiping, we are lying, we are backbiting, we are having jealousy in our heart and hatred in our heart towards other people. And we don't go around and prostituting ourselves or lying or doing things that is so easy to see, the things that people do and it's so easy to see, we think that our walk with God is right. So I watched your video and it got me thinking, I sat there and started reflecting to myself, and I was like, wow, if Jesus came back today, will I really go? That was the question.
I like that.
Me to do that, I'm telling you.
Thank
so it's
you,
like
God.
When the Apostle Paul says, look at me as I look at Christ. I said, this woman of God is placed here for people to look at her as we are looking at Christ.
Mm.
Because it's the same thing. And I'm telling you this because, and I got emotional earlier when I was trying to tell you this, because it really gave me a wake-up call. And I said, Lord, please do not let me share the gospel with people. And when you come back, then I won't make it. That would be tragic.
That's for every one of us. For every one of us, including myself. So we, as minister, we check ourselves constantly in the light of the Lord. We keep checking ourselves. Say, Lord, am I on point? Lord, where am I? Lord, show me myself. Lord, is there anything that you know that needs to be cleaned up? And he will speak to us and guide us. Mm-hmm. Yes.